Nau mai Wairuatapu hare mai ki kone.
Mōrena, it's Karen and Elijah here. We're the lead pastors of Unite. We're a church of small communities that apprentice under Jesus.
As a community of prayerful love, we desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus according to the Bible by the power of His Holy Spirit.
Would we be those that know, practice, and carry the love of Jesus?
Knowing the love of Jesus in our hearts,
practicing it in prayerful community,
and carrying it as missionaries into this world.
Oh, I like that extra little bit, keeping you guys on your toes. Great. Okay, so I'm going to do a quick overview of Matthew, what we've read so far, where we are now, and what's to come.
And then I'll do an underview.
Whatever.
Underview.
It's important to step back and have a look at the Bible as big chunks of the Bible and of the whole story, rather than honing in all the time on just one verse or one chapter or whatever. Like, it's part of a big story.
Mm-hmm.
So the book of Matthew is one of the earliest accounts of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. And I found out, doing some research, that it might not have even been Matthew who wrote that. What? Scandal.
Dropping all the bombs.
So Matthew, the book of Matthew, shows us that Jesus is the continuation and the fulfillment of the whole biblical story. He shows us three main things: that Jesus is the Messiah from the line of David, that he is a new authoritative teacher like Moses, and that he is God with us, or also known as Emmanuel. We read a while back at the beginning of Matthew that it starts with a genealogy, a continuation of the story of the line of Israel coming straight on from the Old Testament. How Jesus comes from the line of David, who comes from the line of Abraham, which means that Jesus comes to bring blessing on all people. It's pretty wonderful that we're reading these stories together, together as in us together, humans, and together as, like, it's still fresh in my mind when we read about Abraham, when we read about David, and now we're reading about Jesus, that we get to put the story all together.
Yeah.
Together.
That's right. That's great.
It's important.
It is.
So his birth story fulfilled Old Testament prophecy and the promises that were in the Old Testament. And always, again, a good reminder of the story as a whole, that he didn't just come whenever, randomly.
That's
in
right.
a random way. But it was part of the Old Testament prophetic promises. And going back to what I said before about Jesus being a new Moses, this is important. The law hung on Moses' teachings, and rightly so, but Jesus came to fulfill that law and bring the kingdom of God into day-to-day lives of people here on earth. Jesus is the new authoritative new covenant teacher who's come again, to fulfill the new storyline of the Torah. He doesn't just teach as Moses taught, but he fulfills. In chapters 4 to 7, which we've just spent a few weeks reading, is where Jesus is announcing God's kingdom, which is his rescue plan for the whole world. Jesus confronts evil, and he comes to restore God's rule and reign over the whole world by creating a new family of people who will say yes to following him, obey his teachings, and live under his rule, which was then and is still now.
Mm-hmm.
It's you, it's me. Then when Jesus creates a following, a movement of people, he takes his followers out to a mountain and begins his first big block of teaching, which is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is exploring what it looks like to live in God's kingdom. And the next section of Matthew is where we read about Jesus bringing the kingdom into people's lives, into day-to-day reality. We read 9 stories of people who are sick, hurting, scared, and brings his grace and power into their situations. And we're just in the middle of reading those stories now. Ooh.
That was our cat.
The cat just sneezed. Sneezing. Throughout these stories, we see Jesus' teaching and his invitational call, follow me. People can only experience God's power and his grace by following him and becoming his disciple. Jesus then extends his reach by sending out his disciples to go and do what he has been doing. And in this, what we're about to read, the next chunk, a lot of people in these stories are turning to Jesus, but we see that a lot aren't. And a lot of those people are leaders, and they have a lot to lose by giving up everything and following Jesus. So looking forward to reading about all that. The next bunch of chapters are a collection of stories, so after that, A collection of stories of people accepting or rejecting the invitation to follow Jesus. After these stories, there's a commentary which consists of parables, and a lot of well-known parables, and they're always good to not just pass by, but stop in and see what Jesus is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And all this to say, it's very structured and very clearly written, Jesus talking about this and then going and showing what it looks like day to day and then sending out his disciples to go and do it. So it's very structured. And all of this is just the first half of Matthew. So maybe next week or the week that's to come, I can kind of do an overview of the next lot. We'll see what Jesus is up to there.
Great overview. Now for the underview, guys. I want to spend a moment deep diving into humility and responsibility. The values that we see a lot in the kingdom of God. And I want to look through this passage, through the framework of this passage, Matthew 9, 9 to 13. So let me read it for you. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice," which is a quote from Hosea. "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Yet again, Jesus is speaking to the heart. He speaks to the heart of following him. In a culture of doing the right things in front of the right people, Jesus invites those around him to consider the human condition. Namely, that we were designed to be with God, and that when we are not connected to God, our humanity unravels. And do we not, if we are honest, feel this in our very bones and see this all around us? But, Jesus explains, if we don't see this, if we don't see the problem, no help offered will ever be accepted. We are left to try and fix our hearts by ourselves. We are left to carry life's burdens on our shoulders alone because we simply don't see that we need our Creator to be our healer. Essentially, Jesus is inviting those listening, and I think us as well, to come to terms with our inability to heal the deep parts of ourselves. To realize our need for God. This is what humility is, to look beyond ourselves and begin or continue to trust in Jesus. Only then will we take the step beyond what we can figure out by ourselves and into trusting Jesus with our hearts. This is what our responsibility is, our God-given ability to own our response to God. Jesus quotes Hosea at the end of this passage, a prophet speaking to a nation that has gone astray and imploring them to turn from their ways and turn to God. And the Hosea 6:6, which is where Jesus quotes from, says this, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." I think for us as a family of small churches, that Jesus has something for us in this season, to invite us to humble ourselves, to recognize our need for him, to acknowledge him, and not just acknowledging him so that we can get what we want on our own terms, but to seek and trust his wisdom as Lord and as the one who knows what we need and what needs to be healed in our hearts, and to take ownership for our response to him. None of this, if God wills it, then it will happen, or if it happens, it must be God's will, or I just wish God would just tell me exactly what to do. When we go down this rabbit hole, we're not taking responsibility for our part. We're actually not taking responsibility for our humanity. Trust is not passive or static. It's dynamic and relational connection. We are responsible to discern what the Spirit is saying through the word given, and to make decisions for our lives from that in the context of community. We make decisions, but we have discernment based off sharing our journey with other people. Some of us need to hear that. If you think your faith is just about you and God, you've missed the story completely. Our faith may be personal, but it is not private. It is something we share in relationship with others. The story of God is one of partnership. God wants to grow us up as apprentices of Jesus, which means that we have decisions to make. Jesus invites us to realize our need for him and own our response to him. Jesus says, "Come follow me." And Matthew still had to get up, leave his old life behind, and follow Jesus. God does not do everything for us, but he has made a way. His invitation is rich with grace. Grace being the God-given ability to respond to him.
That's good.
Humility and responsibility. To see our need, look to God and respond. As followers of Jesus, we must recognize that one of the most important things we do is to discern the Spirit and make decisions from that place. It's not straightforward. Like, I get it. I'm not trying to say that it is. I guess it's like what a relationship is. Relationships aren't straightforward. They're complex. We're complex people. You can't control a relationship. You have to explore and discover. And I guess it's like a relationship because it is one. We are not called to have transactions with God. He is not an equation to solve. But we are called to relate to him in connection, which requires trust. Have you noticed that relationships can't be solved? They can't be just figured out. They require ongoing trust as they grow and develop. This is the work of following Jesus, to grow in knowing him in each turn and bend of the road. And he's given us tools. One, his Holy Spirit, closer than we know, more involved than we may realize. And prayer is us being aware of and connecting to him. If you say, "I follow Jesus," then the reality is his Spirit is in you. Two, his story. The Bible gives us framework to see who God is and how he interacts with humanity. The Bible gives us context for the Spirit to then bring up in our mind as we live our lives. And three, really important, guys, his church. And I don't mean institutional church. I don't mean Christendom. I mean the community of Jesus that he has called you to practice his faith in. We are called to be in committed community where we follow Jesus together. So, we seek the Holy Spirit. We posture ourselves in surrender and trust. We immerse ourselves in the story of God through the Bible, and we commit to rhythms of community and let other people in to the discerning process, which is really, I think, at the core of what wisdom is, just so you know. And we practice. We step out, we have a go. Practice doesn't mean we get it all right, but it means that we engage. Because if nothing else, church, unite, followers of Jesus, we are apprentices. So I'm not saying it's easy, but it's the right kind of hard work. It's the hard work we are called to do. It's the work of growing in relationship with someone. And there is no someone we were made to be in relationship more than Jesus. To follow Jesus is to know his love, to practice his love, and to carry his love. It's not a question. It's right there for us. So the question is, what does it mean now to take steps of trust in that place?
That's great. And some more questions for you to consider or discuss in your neighborhood church. Question number one, what is God revealing to you about who he is?
Brilliant. Rua, where are you being led to humble yourself before God? Another way to put it could be, what need in your life do you need to invite God into?
And Toru, where is Jesus inviting you to take responsibility in your apprenticeship to him?
Awesome. We just want to thank you, Unite, for your regular gifts, money and time, committing yourselves to the word and prayer, practice of Christ-loving community. We are truly thankful for you.
Yeah. Again, let's take some time to stop and consider our money and treasures before God. Let's offer them up again in worship to God as a part of our apprenticeship to Jesus.
Absolutely. Father God, thank you for providing for us, for tithes, offerings given to Unite. Thank you for your Spirit leading us in generosity and teaching us. We trust you with our money, our possessions, our time and choices, and we trust that you are good and that you lead well. In your holy name, Jesus, amen.
You can find more information about Unite and get in contact with us via our website, unitechurch.org.nz.
Mm-hmm. This video is in podcast form in Spotify.
In Spotify.
On Spotify.
We have youth group on Thursday nights. Ask your neighbourhood shepherd about it and we'll get some details to you.
We also put out the bat signal if you want to get baptised.
The bat signal.
Contact us or your neighbourhood church pastor and we'll go from there.
And finally, our next monthly all-in gathering will be the 29th of October at 10 a.m.
May we rest in the goodness of the Father. May we trust in Jesus as Lord. May the Holy Spirit form and guide us as we journey together. May we practice Christ's love and community. May we partner with God in putting the world back together. And above all else, may we know that we are loved by God Himself. We're praying for you in the love of Jesus. Aroha nui.
Bye.